Good morning and welcome to worship here at St Andrew's. Our opening words are just inside the order of service. A birthday is always a time for looking back. Today we also look forward. What will the future bring? How can we make sure that future is bright and just? By the amen at the end. We don't do it very much these days, do we? Yeah. So that's a recycling of an old 100 that would have echoed through Scottish Presbyterian churches for a long time before 1840. So welcome everyone on our birthday. Happy birthday, you all. 179 is pretty good. I always think that when you're getting to these kinds of numbers, you've got to celebrate every birthday, you know, just in case. So 179 is a good total. I was at a clergy lunch on Friday and I said, St Andrew's is 180 next year. And someone said, oh, that's right, you got started early, didn't you? So it's good to have you here and it's a good shelter from the rain, which isn't the storm that it turned out to be. Welcome, visitors, and hope that you'll be able to stay for coffee afterwards and cake afterwards to carry on the conversation. It's good that you're here. I know there's someone from Dunedin and someone from England. Any other places? South Africa? France? Yeah, that's good. Welcome, everyone. Let us pray. As the years turn over, suddenly here we are, 179. And as we look back over those years, we can't even quite imagine all the different ways that this gathering would have happened on various of those 170 years, 79 years. The difference in style, in theology, but not a difference in commitment, not a difference in walking the way. And so we are conscious today that our footsteps are on a way walked by many before us and will be walked by many after us. We take our part in the procession of faith. So as we do so, may our hearts and minds be open to what it is that we need to hear this day, in this place, with these people. So may it be. And we say together the Lord's Prayer or the Jesus Prayer. You'll find it on the laminated card in your order of service. Eternal Spirit, Life Giver, Pain Bearer, Love Maker, Source of all that is and that shall be, Father and Mother of us all, loving God in whom is heaven, the hallowing of your name echo through the universe, the way of your justice be followed by the peoples of the world, your heavenly will be done by all created beings, your commonwealth of peace and freedom sustain our hope and come on earth. With the bread we need for today, feed us. In the hurts we absorb from one another, forgive us. In times of temptation and test, strengthen us. From trials too great to endure, spare us. From the grip of all that is evil, free us. For you reign in the glory of the power that is love, now and forever. Amen. Well, our families have stayed at home, cozy in their PJs on this wet day. But I will light the rainbow candle in recognition that this church includes everyone, including children. Oh, do you want to come on? Look, it went out. It went out. I'm sorry, I saw you here earlier. What's your name? Sylvie. I'm Susan. So the deal is you like that there? Very nice to have you, Sylvie. You might do a lot of lighting of candles. This is perfect. Well done. So Sue is going to give us the story today. So come on down and have a seat.
Hello. I haven't met you before. I'm Sue. What's your name?
Sylvie.
Sylvie. Oh, lovely to meet you. It's great to have you here, especially because I've become so well prepared with my cardboard roll, and I thought a little person might struggle to tell me the answer to this question, which is, why would I have one of these in my house this week, do you think? Any ideas why I might have an empty one of these? What do you think was on here before it became empty? Have you seen one of these before? Well, I'll give you a clue. See that birthday cake? There was a birthday in my house this week. Not my birthday. No, I don't bother with birthdays anymore. And my daughter, or our daughter, Katie, we'd turned 27, which is a strange sort of number. And she wanted some new bed linen because she has a rather large bed. We needed a big piece of wrapping paper. But we did buy recyclable wrapping paper. And we always are very sparing with the sellotape because we are good Scottish Presbyterians. And we know that if you take the sellotape off the paper very carefully, you can use it later in your classroom for decoration. So that's just taking care of the eco issue. So we have one of these in our house. And today at church, we're talking a lot about birthdays. Susan's already mentioned the church's birthday, or this church's birthday, 179 years. So I was going to play a bit of a guessing game today with all the lovely children who are tucked up in their warm beds. And the first question was, you know, what's this for? Which is easy, the 179th. Birthday cake, we know the answer to that one. But I thought you might like to know, if you haven't been here much before, I found this on the church website, and it's a painting. It's a bit blurry because it was a painting not a photo, and then a photo, I think, was taken of the painting. Some of you will be familiar with this. And I think this represents the first church that this one was created a long time ago. And because I'm not good with numbers, I wrote down the details so I wouldn't get it wrong. And have that. If you want to hold while I read this out. So St. Andrew's, this church here, was New Zealand's first Presbyterian congregation. And Presbyterian is a word that comes from Scotland, special kind of church. And so we have links to the Church of Scotland, and we're well known for our stand on social justice and fairness for people of all kinds. And that's earned us a special place in the Presbyterian Church. But do you know, when I Googled the subject of Wellington Historic Church, thinking there'd be masses of information about us, do you know what I found? A website dedicated to the top 10 most beautiful churches in Wellington. I thought, oh, easy, we'll be in there. So I scrolled through 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Got to 9, we weren't on the list. Can you imagine? So it seems that St. Andrew's on the Terrace doesn't have the most beautiful face. But I like to think that even though we're not the most beautiful church, or one of the top 10 most beautiful churches in Wellington, according to this particular website, we do lots of good things, and we are a good community of people. And this painting you have here tells us, or the story on the website tells us, that John McFarlane was the person who led people to build a church there and start a church in Wellington. And they landed at Petone, which is Petone, on the Bengal Merchant, an old ship, in 1840, long, long time ago, in February. So that's why we're celebrating this birthday, because they started that church that you see there all that time ago, 179 years ago. And since then, of course, the church moved from, I think, Petone to Thorndon and then to Lambton Quay and finally came here. So this church, although it seems old and is apparently not very beautiful, it is quite old in New Zealand terms. But it just so happens that when I put these things together, I used my Freiburg bag, and this was my home for 4 years in the 1970s. And of course, its church, its most famous church, is 600 years old, so really New Zealand is quite a young place. But we celebrate birthdays because it gives us a chance, as Susan said, to look back and to look forward. So we had my daughter in her 27th, which doesn't seem much, but there is someone in this parish who's not here today, and he's celebrating this week his 101st or 101st. How do you say that? There aren't many 101st birthdays, 101st birthday. So I brought along these little pictures for a guessing game, which has kind of now become passé. This one says Katie on it, and that was to go with the 27, and we'll put that there. And then we've got St. Andrew's here, which is the 179, and then there's Lloyd Gearing. You may have heard of Lloyd. He's famous in our church for many, many things, not just for being very old, but very wise. And written many, many books and delivered lots of wonderful lectures in the clearest voice you can imagine. From the time he was 30 to the time he was 100, he has been one of the best people to deliver a lecture. Even people who didn't always agree with what he said he was one of the best presenters ever. And many of us do find in his words of wisdom and his stories a lot of good value. So he's one of the people who make this community special. And I like to think today that if we take anything away from being 179, it's that it doesn't matter what we look like on the outside and whether people think we're one of the top 10. It just matters that we do good things and that we stay strong together and that we value each other in a good way. So I hope you agree, and I hope you have a nice time with us today. Thank you for coming in the terrible rain on this cold day. It is still summer, and we look forward to more summer, and we also look forward to many more years in this place with these people as St. Andrew's on the Terrace.
And there's a couple of things because it's a birthday. One is that quite serendipitously, Georgia Gray came to spend some time with her family, so we have Georgia singing to us now the first song. Thanks, Georgia. She used to be a young person your age. Oh, thing about churches is you're never quite sure if you should clap. But that was lovely. Thank you very much. A great birthday present for us. And that's a great birthday wish, isn't it? To be wished peace and joy and love. It was interesting. I was noticed Aroha in there and then Amor at the end, which, of course, you'll be using much more in France these days. So, Sylvie, would you like to light birthday candles? And then we're going to sing Happy Birthday, and probably not as well as George has just sung it. And Pam Ormsby, would you like to get ready to come and cut the cake? Yeah, Pat might help you. 179. I told you it'd be lighting lots of candles there. You might need to blow them out too, because I think Pam will be okay cutting the cake, but blowing out the candles might be a big ask, mightn't it? Okay. So let's sing. Who's going to give us the note? Oh, there we go. Three in a row. Yep, right in the middle. Yay. Well done. Yep, that's good. Thank you. Ooh, it's a nice soft sponge, we can see that. So you'll enjoy that later. Thank you, Pam. Pam is our institutional memory around here. She knows where everything is, and every now and again she gets me to check on whether the brass angel still exists. and I can tell you that story later. So, we have birthday-fied ourselves, and now, Sylvie, do you want to go out to Rainbow Room? Would you like to? It's your choice. It's your choice. Okay. So, we send you to the Rainbow Room to hear stories, ask questions, have fun. And we all say, we bless you. Amen. And we'll pass the peace.
Our gospel reading today is from Luke chapter 6, on the themes of love for enemies and judging others. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect full repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, who is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. And our contemporary reading is by the Reverend Wayne Takar. He presented this paper at Waitangi in 2012. The differences in language, appearance, custom and tradition were barriers that the Reverend John McFarlane readily accepted and worked through. He did not offer criticism of the strange ways and customs of the people of the land. Instead, he strove to understand their unique place in this part of the world and how they interacted with the new world that was emerging around them. The only criticism he publicised were against the vices and negative effects of colonisation by the church, society and state, and how seriously marginalised the people of the land limiting their potential. On the issue of colonisation, McFarlane became an outspoken advocate of social justice for the welfare and advancement of Māori, even to the point of withstanding criticism publicly and privately from his own people. In a humble grave in the parish of Lochmilphead, in Inveray, Argyllshire, Scotland, lie interred the remains of the Reverend John McFarlane. If there ever was a case for a patron saint of the Presbyterian Church of Aotearoa New Zealand, John McFarlane would qualify at the top of the list of possible candidates. For the word in scripture, for the word among us, for the word within us, we give thanks.
We reflect on who we are now and who we might be in the future. Let us hear what we need to hear this day. So may it be. Amen. I wonder how we would have gone on with Reverend John McFarlane. He would have approved of our Waiata practice after the gathering today, obviously, from the contemporary reading. He was ahead of his time with bicultural issues. Would he be ahead of his time on rainbow issues, were he here today? From this excerpt from Wayne Takawa's paper, which he gifted to us a couple of years ago, McFarlane seems like a founder of which this church could be proud. Wayne goes so far to nominate him for patron saint of the Presbyterian Church. I have to say, as I wrote this, I had misread that and thought he was proposing him for a patron saint of Aotearoa. So I was thinking, who would I nominate for a patron saint of Aotearoa? And I wondered if he would succeed alongside people like Suzanne O'Bear and James K. Baxter and Sir Paul Reeves, but the area that Wayne's suggesting is a little smaller. So we might think, would John McFarlane get the slot over Jack Somerville or John Murray, former ministers of this church too? So you'll have your own lists of who you think marries spirituality and a groundedness in this land and within this church, or any church for that matter. Birthdays do mean that we look back, sometimes in delight, occasionally in anger, sometimes with regret, other times with contentment. But we do look back a lot. Only the other day, I found myself going over the old ground of what we were forbidden to do on Sundays when I was a teenager. And I find that conversations in the church often go back to that. And I think, that's old stuff. It's old regrets, old territory. And I've made a little vow to myself that I'm not going to talk about that anymore. It happened. It had its effect. Now we're here. So who and what are we now? And who or what will the church be in the future because of what we are doing now. One structure that intrigues me as a way to do church now is that of the Church of the Saviour in Washington, D.C., and I have spoken of this before. Roger and I managed to visit it in 2013. They follow a rule of not allowing their church communities to get beyond a certain number, and they now call themselves the Scattered Community of Churches, and this is how they describe it. The current structure of the Church of the Saviour is a scattered community of small, independent churches. Having come from a common family history and vision, the churches and other affiliated communities share similar but not identical practices and commitments. Each is a unique expression locally of the body of Christ. The churches welcome your participation in their worship services, classes, and other gatherings. And they go on to describe how that works. Comprised of ordinary people making extraordinary commitments, the churches in the tradition of the Church of the Saviour are structured to nurture intentional relationships and practices to support the journey of faith in Christ. Each church calls for an integrity of membership in the spirit and tradition of the original church. This means being accountable to one another in small circles called mission groups that make commitments to study and pray, give and serve at a particular point of need. Members take classes in the church's School of Christian Living called the Servant Leadership School, as well as join in the community's ongoing life of worship, celebration and service. Formation for an intern member might last from 1 to 3 years. Annually, after a period of discernment, members renew or withdraw their covenant membership. So each year, people think about whether they can be fully committed to the church in the following year, and so they stay on or they withdraw for that year. Integrity of membership invites members to discern each year whether or not they are still called to this way of journeying with Jesus and his friends. And some of you know that the mission groups that are mentioned here have over several decades of that church's life spawned over 40 not-for-profit organisations that work for social welfare and social justice. One of them is a mobile medical clinic. Another one is an apartment block built for the homeless. Another one is a hospice for men who are quadriplegic or tetraplegic. The Church of the Saviour has very intelligent and forward-looking people in it, just like this church. No way could they be described as fundamentalists, but they demand from their members a combination of commitment of heart and mind and hands. They think theologically and politically with their heads. I've told you before, I think, that one of their favourite stories is that one Sunday morning in church they announced that one of their members had been arrested again for protesting in front of the White House. The congregation applauded. And that woman had purchased her own orange jumpsuit for her frequent trips to prison. I think she was in her 60s or 70s. Church members also unashamedly are committed in their hearts. Their website's structured around the title of a book written by one of their co-founders, Inward, Outward. Outward, inward, heart and action. And finally, the structure calls for every member each year to again be sure that they belong fully to the community. That means they will get their hands dirty, metaphorically speaking, in some mission group or other. Heart and mind and hands. Inward journey, outward journey. When I look back at this 179th birthday of St Andrew's on the Terrace and check where the churches that I have ministered in before are fit for the future that will be demanded of them, I wonder if I have done the congregations I have served a true service. Over the years, I have tended to give permission for people to be equivocal about how they believed and how they thought and how they acted, how their hearts, minds, and hands were engaged or not engaged. Now, as I think through that, think about now and think about the future, I've come to the conclusion that a lot of liberal and progressive Christians I know are embarrassed to be Christian in this New Zealand society of ours, which is so definitively secular. And now I think that many, and sometimes that includes me, are in danger of giving up on being connected and committed to unpopular ways of thinking. It's become so important to accept everyone that we are not always prepared to say, "True, but I disagree with you on that issue." We've not learned how to have those difficult conversations where we manage to disagree and yet remain in loving relationship with our opponent. And that can be true inside the church, and it can be true outside as well. So part of the Church of the Saviour is their servant leadership school, and this is how they describe that. For 2 decades now, the servant leadership school has been a catalyst for Christian discipleship, theological reflection, and social activism. The school maintains the belief that individual and community transformation begins with spiritual formation and personal commitment. True to its original mission, the Servant Leadership School remains a place where people of various backgrounds, interests, and life journeys can be equipped to be servant leaders in ways that support justice and community. Our offerings include classes, events, and workshops around topics ranging from servant leadership to social analysis, centering prayer to engaging the powers, and anti-racism to addictions recovery. Did you notice a sentence early on in that passage? The school maintains the belief that individual and community transformation begins with spiritual formation and personal commitment. This leads me to ask whether what we are doing now here and what I'm encouraging you to do now here at St Andrews is dealing in enough spiritual formation and personal commitment in order that we will now and in the future be seeing individual and community transformation. One place to look might be our membership statistics. It's become fashionable not to join anything these days. And if we can't commit to joining this or any other church, how can we transform it? Another thought I've been having as I've looked around the world and society and the church right now, I can see that if we do not attend to our core business, it will be lost from society because no one else thinks that that is their core business. What is that core business? If we were to take the Church of the Saviour's opinion, it would be spiritual formation. Now that's a really funny thing to be saying to post-enlightenment progressive people. Spiritual formation is something nuns and brothers do in monasteries. It's something that's done by ordinations training for ministry. Not enough, in my opinion, but that's something for another time. It's for those wishy-washy spirituality type people. And anyway, submitting to a routine or discipline isn't really hip just now. When would a postmodern guy or gal fit a spiritual routine into their already filled up lives? And if we're retired, well, we've done enough of that in the past. Thank you very much. Those are some of the thoughts that float in the ether. So we can turn to social justice as an antidote to this yawning gap that our post-enlightenment thinking has created. This black hole where faith used to be. This abyss where we used to trust we could get to the other side. But the Church of the Saviour knows that sustainability, working for social justice, is undergirded by spiritual fitness and health. You don't get arrested all those times, so often that you need your own orange jumpsuit, unless you have a spiritual life providing the mainspring for that action. I've just started going to the gym. I'm a gym bunny now, sort of. At first it was scary, then it was challenging and enjoyable trying new things each week. Now we've reached a fairly routine stage. It's not quite as exciting, not quite so new. I find myself debating about whether I can really fit the gym in today or whether I might just use a lower level on this machine. You know the feeling. I can please myself. about how little or how much I do at the gym, but only doing what I need to do and regularly will keep me fit. Get me fit and then keep me fit. I can be and have been dismissive of the regular spiritual routines that I was encouraged into as a child and a young adult. I have kidded myself that I'm too sophisticated to bother with that now, and anyway, I'm no longer into guilt, am I? But like a body that's not been exercised enough, a person who lacks commitment to spiritual practice, however small, ends up spiritually unfit. I know from first-hand experience. It's happened to me many times. And when that happens, my outer work for the church or for justice within society also starts to stutter and fail. It's a crucial time for the church in general and St Andrew's in particular. We can judge other branches of the church and pity their passion for the spiritual, but the kind of socially just effort called for in the first part of the gospel reading, giving without expectation or reward, loving those who do not love us back, is not sustainable unless we're also maintaining a spiritual routine of some sort. Following the gospel passage without that undergirding will lead to bitter, resentful people who get tired and give up. Yes, it will be different from when we were children or young people, and we will need to work out how it will be different. A Rhythm of Life group last year met a couple of times, and then, well, it was kind of like we didn't want to go to the gym anymore, and I would put some of the responsibility for that on me. Centering prayer these days on a Tuesday never gets above 5 people, and it's usually 3. If you can't get here at 12:30 on a Tuesday, you could stop wherever you are at 12:30 on a Tuesday and take 20 to 30 minutes knowing others are doing the same elsewhere. And if you need help in knowing what to do, just ask. I'm thinking of working on a book of prayers or quotations that would suit progressive post-enlightenment people that could be used during the day, just picking it up and reading one and putting it down again. A good structural move here at St Andrew's, which is in the early stages of development, is a mission and ministry work group which will partner the finance and facilities management work group. So we have 2 major committees, one for property and finance and one for the spiritual aspects of our life. And we're going to make sure that they work together to recreate an integration that's fallen by the wayside with all the great work that's been put into and will continue to be put into saving St Andrew's. But perhaps we need to save St Andrew's in a more conventional sense, saving ourselves from sliding into a fully secular way of being that ignores our foundational commitments and virtues, that engages our heads but leaves behind our hearts and our hands. Have we been pursuing an outward journey without an accompanying inward journey? I don't actually know, because of course I don't know everything about your inward journeys, and I would be thrilled if I got attacked after the service by a lot of people who said, "You don't know what kind of an inward journey I have, and it's very healthy, thank you very much." Could we, like the Church of the Saviour, nurture intentional relationships and practices to support the journey of faith in Christ? Lent's not far away. Begins on Ash Wednesday, March the 6th, just 12 days. You could use those 12 days to think about whether you will pick up a spiritual practice for Lent, just 6 weeks, long enough to form a habit. I'll prepare some resources for people to use if they're prepared to do it. And if people want to meet during Lent, that could be possible. It would just be a mini step, really, a good practice for the way in which we might need to continue being post-enlightenment progressive and spiritual people. We may just invent a whole new thing. And then there could be confidence in the church for the future because of what we are doing now. So may it be. Our offering for the work here and beyond and food for the food bank will be received. We stand in silence to make our offerings of food, and money and of our lives. So may it be. Amen. Anyone who's got notices, if you'd like to come forward. One of the reasons why the reflection went the way it was that I'm quite conscious at the moment that you're about to be asked for a lot of activity. And I'd love for that activity to be sustainable, so I was suggesting a way that you could make it so. Because in your order of service, you have this little leaflet. It's partly for you to put on the fridge so that you can remember what to do, but it gives you a bit of a progress report on the amount of help that's been offered, which is fantastic. Really great list of things that Margaret sent me. And just to give you some time. So if we need anything you're loaning, come in by 12 noon Saturday. It can come in way before that. And if you're bringing it in, just put it on the table in the North Vestry. I know of one standard lamp that needs picking up, and someone might be able to do that for us. The decorating party is needed from 12 noon on Saturday, and the home baking needs to be there before 5:30. It can be there earlier. It needs to be there by then. The serving probably would work in two kind of shifts, the 5:30 to 7:30, the 7:30 to 9:30. And then if you can't make it earlier, you'd be very welcome later, because fresh legs to clean up is really helpful. And people have been already donating towards the coffee cart costs. Thank you very much. And if you can do so, that'd be great. So we still need rugs, the kind of, you know, decorative, your precious Persian rug, for example, or something like that. Some more people to decorate and to clean up. And we're going to have CD music playing in between the programs, so if someone was able to keep that happening, that would be great. And you may have a card table at home. We haven't asked for them so far, but they would be very useful. Now, this threefold brochure is a summary of all the things that we have committed ourselves, or I have committed St Andrews to on your behalf for Pride Festival. And some of them you will be helping with, some of them you are free to come to, others you should just be holding in your thoughts. And this is also something that could be given to another person to let them know what we're doing at St Andrews during the Pride Festival. So all of those uses could be made of that. So I'll step aside and there'll be other things people want to say.
Good morning, I'm Lynn Dovey and I wear a number of hats, and today I'm wearing my hat, which is the head of the Organ Fundraising Committee. Thinking about the past and the future, the organ is something that we want to preserve for the future, or actually restore. Your committee's been working very hard over the last few months, and we are going to have a series of fundraising concerts starting on Saturday the 27th of April. Then there's one on the 24th of May and another one on the 7th of June. And they will all be performed by musicians from the New Zealand School of Music who are donating their time. So this morning I have the first one for you. I have a little fridge reminder, if you like, and also for you to give away to your friends and family, and I have posters. Just a few this morning, just to get you started. I'm really asking you to help us with this and put the word out about these concerts. This concert is going to be by the students, the string orchestra, conducted by Donald Morris, who many of you may know and who performs here regularly. He's one of the teachers at the school, and the items will be including two Haydn cello concertos by Inbal Megiddo. Inbal is a beautiful cellist from Israel. She's the cello teacher at the school. She's about this high, just about the size of the cello, and she's a fantastic cellist. So we're very, very fortunate to have these musicians helping us raise money for the organ. I'll have these at the back of the church.
Hello, my name's Pat Booth. I'm repeating an announcement that I made last week. For those of you who don't already know, Margaret Megwin died 2 weeks ago. She was part of our congregation. I met her through an experimental alternative feminist liturgy group where she taught us how to do circle dancing, which is a form of meditation, really, using your whole body. And Margaret has requested that we do a circle dance at her memorial service tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock. So, dear Sonia has agreed. Sonia has created a dance for us to do in Margaret's honour. And we're going to have a rehearsal after church. Before or after cake, I'm not sure. But and if you can't wait for the rehearsal, please let me know whether you'll be present tomorrow. It will be very simple. I know it has to be simple for me, basically. But it's something that Margaret gifted to me personally, but to the people who met with her for feminist liturgy. And we have done at least two. I'm sure I have done it twice here at St Andrews in various services. So it's not new to St Andrews, but if you would like, if you are able to attend tomorrow's service, which is at 10 o'clock, and if you'd like to join in, please let me know. Thank you.
Good morning, Bruce Forkill. More about the organ refurbishment project. As you've just heard from Lynn, it's warming up. And Marilyn and I wish to help fire it up with a firewood fundraiser. We have a lot of fallen, mature gum on our property, and it's our intention to put it through a log splitter and produce multiple trailer loads of firewood, some this year, and because it won't be fully dry, some next year. And just to give you advance warning, so you can think about it, $350 for a 3-cubic-metre trailer load of dried gum delivered in Wellington, the Wellington area, later in the year, and $320 if you choose to bring out your own trailer to our place and load it up yourself. We'll get a bit of assistance from Marilyn and I. All proceeds to the organ refurbishment fund. But there's a but. The but is that the wood must be prepared before all this can happen, and it's got to be taken through a log splitter. And there's quite a lot of physical activity involved in that. And long story short, I need some help next Saturday to at least get this process underway, and I'm looking for some volunteers, say 4 or 5 persons who feel like a bit of a blowout next Saturday. You don't have to be a gym bunny. There'll be all sorts of aspects of the process, some for the physically able and some for the physically challenged, whatever. I'm not too bothered about that. Say 9 a.m. and lunch provided. So if you're willing to be a volunteer in this process, could you see me after the service? Thanks very much.
Thank you, Bruce. And at the church service immediately after that firewood expedition, we'll be having visitors introducing us to the Don Borrie Memorial Scholarship. And as part of that service, the Reverend Richard Lawrence will be preaching. He's got impeccable credentials. He's Rosemary Lawrence's brother and Bruce Corkle's brother-in-law. So well-connected. And we will be welcoming those people next Sunday. Bruce, I think we'll sing 2 verses of the next hymn, the first and the last.
Celebrations, and that we can be here to celebrate. We thank you for the delight of greeting friends returned from holidays and from working overseas. and for the joy of having family visiting from overseas. On this special day of remembering, we give thanks for those who have gone before us, for their commitment and perseverance, for their imagination and risk-taking, and all that they did that means that we can be here today in this familiar place. We are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. May we be aware of the privilege we have and the responsibility that goes with that. And now some prayers from the book. We pray today for those in long-term permanent housing need and those trying to resolve this unmet need in nothing is available for acute 15 assessment need for a mother of six, but that the relevant service centre at 5:30 on Friday was willing to pay for 1 week in a hotel for this week. We pray for and give thanks for the Te Matutini event happening now at Westpac Stadium. We pray for a break in the weather, for an easing of the cold and wind, and for new warmth in the air. We pray for the two young women who became jihadi brides. They are both stateless, cut off from family and help. And we pray for them, for compassion, for understanding from the government involved. And our thoughts and prayers go to Nola as she continues her stay in hospital. And now in our circle of prayer, we think today of the people of Mali and the people of the province of West Africa. In New Zealand, we remember those in Parliament. And today we name Tutihunuku Karako and Melissa Lee, List MPs. Here in the Central Presbytery, we pray for the leaders and people of Levin Uniting Church. And now we sum up our prayers in the prayer for St. Andrews. If you're from another place, make this your prayer, both for us and for your community. So join me in praying. Renew your people, God, and renew our life in this place. Give us a new spirit of unity with all who follow Christ and a new spirit of love towards all people. Bless the city in which we live, that it may be a place where honest dealing, good government, the desire for beauty, and the care for others flourish. Bless this church, that what we know of your will may become what we do and what we believe, strong impulse of our worship and word. Amen.
Would you please stand for the affirmation of faith? We'll continue standing for the hymn afterwards. This is an affirmation of faith looking towards the future. We trust in life which never ends. A flowing underground aquifer of life, refreshing and nourishing all who root themselves in its cool, clear water. We yearn for greening to spring forth from the source of life, new growth unfolding in human hearts, despite the drought-stricken deserts which lie around them, and the heart stopping bitter cold of evil greed. We trust that deep down inside us, the aquifer of life flows unendingly, unpolluted and magnificent, delicately whispering its loving way when our wounds need the salve of fresh hope. We seek the grace on ourselves and in the sacred stream of living water, so we too may bear fruit in the season to come. Way together with Jesus in our midst. Our hands are open to receive. Our hearts are open to give. Our minds long to learn, and our souls reach out to each other. trusting that love surrounds us every moment of every day.